The following is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's go!
That's right, Sports Hub here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, online at HubCityRadio.com. We're live with the Facebook stream as well, Facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Good morning. We're back at it here on a Monday. It's June 9th. I'm Matt McClure. Tukes, he is out today celebrating one of his daughter's birthdays today. He'll be back with us tomorrow here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We didn't have a show there on Friday. We were golfing at the Northern State football golf event there. Great event. Was a lot of fun, that's for sure. Yours truly, Tukes and Isaac Morgan, we played all right. We finished 5 under par. We were on a good par streak there to start. We had a couple birdies sprinkled in, an eagle in there as well. And, you know, like we said, just had a ton of fun there. Great event there at Lee Park. I took part of it. And, the awards and all that. A playoff with three separate teams. I think it was either 16 or 17 under par was the winner. They had a putt-off there at the end. So just a great event there on Friday. That's why we didn't have a show there Friday. And we're back at it here on this Monday morning edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, a daily sports talk show every weekday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm the Cobra here, Matt McClure. On the show, we're talking a little state softball. We had the state AA, A and B softball championships over the weekend. A and B were here in Aberdeen. AA was at Augustana. We'll talk about all the results there. Actually, a programming note later on this week, tomorrow, we're going to be talking with State B champion dual head coach Sarah Hagberg. She's going to be joining the show tomorrow right around 10:30 here on FSA. So you had Class AA, A and B state softball. We'll take a look at those results a little bit later on in the program. Plus Brown County Speedway. It was race night this past Friday. Towards the bottom of the hour here on the Sports Hub, we're going to be joined by our hockey guy, Cy, talking a little Stanley Cup Finals. That's taking place right now. I mean, you can't have two better games than what we've seen. We can't have any better games here than what we've seen in the state, than we've seen in the Stanley Cup Final. And looking forward to having Cy Ebenunk on the program on FSA as well. Again, sorry, apologies there. Got to flip a button. We're live now. It's 10:04 here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Like we said, we didn't have a show on Friday. We were out there golfing at Northern State. We're back here today. Tukes will be with us tomorrow on the Sports Hub on FSA. Cy Ebenunk towards the bottom of the hour talking some Stanley Cup Final. Plus, we're going to be talking some state high school softball. We're going to be talking some Minnesota Twins baseball. They were in action over the weekend, a three-game series on the road there, or not on the road, at home. They will talk about that towards the bottom of the hour as well against the Blue Jays. All that's coming up here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Let's toss it forward here to the jump for this morning on FSA. We have an extended version here of the jump, and we're going to start it out with this. Obviously, the NBA Finals are taking place, and the series is tied up at one game apiece. And is it just me, or does the Finals just not have that it factor that we've seen in the past? Whether it's just the broadcast, the presentation of the game, whatever it may be, to me, the NBA Finals just doesn't have that it factor, that attention grabber. You know, forget about the two teams playing in the thing. That's a big topic of discussion, right? Hey, these are two small market teams, Indiana and Oklahoma City. We'd rather see the Lakers and whoever, or the New York Knicks, or one of the bigger market teams. Forget that for a second. I saw this on X, and I'm watching the game on the game one earlier last week, and I don't see anything on the court. There's no the Finals, 2025 Finals. Remember back in the day, they put the big Larry O'Brien trophy in the center court. I don't see that at all. The only thing we get is on YouTube TV a gold-looking scoreboard that says the Finals. Outside of that, we don't get anything. It reminds me of an NBA Wednesday game in January, to be honest with you. It just doesn't have that big game feel to it. So people on social media after game one were saying, hey, why don't we have these logos on the court? Where are these logos on the court, right? Well, social media and X won the battle because YouTube TV yesterday during game two added digital trophies to the court for the first half, and they look like they're in 480p. They're blurry on the court, okay? They don't look great with the players on the court. They're blurry. They're like diagonal. They're a little bit off. They're not lined up correctly. Okay. So they got a lot of backlash for that the first half. So in the second half, they changed it to just the Finals on YouTube TV. It looks a little bit better, but not great. So why don't we go to these courts that we've seen in the past? Or better yet, you know how they do the NBA Cup, the in-season tournament? For the in-season tournament games, every team has a court, they have jerseys, they have new everything. But for the NBA Finals, the biggest series of the year, we can't get the Finals on the court or the Larry O'Brien trophy. Instead, we get digital AI trophies that are blurry and the Finals that you can barely read. What are we doing? I wish we had the big game feel. And we talked about this last week when Tukes was there. Just, I don't get that feeling that, to me, this reminds me of a Wednesday night game in January. It doesn't seem Finals to me. And forget the two teams. I mean, we had a great game one. Tyrese Halliburton hit the buzzer beater in game one with 0.3 seconds left. But I just need more. We do all this stuff for the NBA Cup, and they change all this stuff for the All-Star game. They just did that with they're doing the USA versus the world to make it more competitive. And for the NBA Finals, we got nothing. So that's my first complaint here on the jump. Part two on the jump. Did you see this? I saw it on X. Here, local notes now. Here on Post 7 and PVC Shattering Post 12. Played a baseball game yesterday. This is a final from last night. 32-14, your final score from last night. 32 runs. And this was a game that was close the first five innings. Check this out. It was 7-2 in the bottom of the fifth inning. And in the sixth, there was a grand total of 23 runs. 13 runs by Huron Post 7 in the sixth. And then in the bottom of the inning, 10 runs from PVC Chatterin Post 12. Final score, 32-14. Huron Post 7 put up 25 runs the final two innings, 32 runs on 20 hits, three errors. They walked 17 times. They had 27 RBIs as a team in this game. So, yes, they took advantage of some errors, but they also pounded the baseball as well. And PBC Shatterin' Post 12 had 14 runs on 15 hits, and they just booted the ball around the field. They had six errors, but 23 runs in one inning. In the sixth inning, I mean, this was a 7-2 ball game going into the sixth. I mean, it's just a wild box score there. 35 combined hits, 9 combined errors, and you had 46 combined runs in this game. Unbelievable. And the final one here, another local note, I saw this on Friday. Northern State men's basketball signed Aberdeen Central hooper Brendan Phillips to the program. Saw this on X there. Covered Brendan's games the last couple of years there at Aberdeen Central. One of the best scorers in all of Class AA. He signs with Northern State. So big shout out goes to Brendan Phillips as he will be a part of Northern State men's basketball this upcoming season. And like we said, you just got to get the opportunity. And we talked to head coach Brent Norberg this past season there at Aberdeen Central, and he said, hey, we're just, you know, Brendan's one of the best players in all of Class AA, just looking for that opportunity. He would say on the air postgame, like, hey, if there's any coaches that want to reach out, this is a big-time player, can score from all different plays on the court, three-pointer, he's got a mid-range, he can attack the basket. You know, it was just difficult at times for him, I felt like, because teams knew he was the best player, and they would key on him. So big shout-out Brendan Phillips signed there at Northern State, part of the Wolves and Coach Wilbur's program there. Looking forward to basketball season. Obviously, Coach Wilbur got announced. He was the head coach earlier this summer, early summer, late spring, and we're getting ready for that this upcoming winter. And, yeah, big shout-out to Brendan Phillips there signing with NSU. You can check out their X page. They listed a bunch of signees on Northern State men's basketball. You can check it out there on their X page there as well. Coming up next on the program, as we're stepping aside at 10-12, we're talking a little state high school softball, Class AA, A, and B state tournament. And for the first time in school history, the Cardinals of Dole are state champions. They've been knocking at the door the last couple of seasons, and we're going to be talking about that, plus a couple really good matchups in Class A and Double A as well. We're stepping aside here at 10-12 on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And we're back on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour here of the program, we're going to be joined Cy Evanunk, our hockey guy, talking some Stanley Cup Finals. Plus, we'll talk a little NHL as well. Obviously, that season is in the books, but have a talk to Cy about that, and we'll talk to him later on towards the bottom of the hour coming up next here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Daily sports talk show, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on FSA. Matt McClure here, the Cobra, and Tukes, he'll be joining us tomorrow as well on FSA. Took the day off there celebrating a birthday there. His daughter celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday there. And we'll be talking with Tukes tomorrow on FSA. Plus, Sarah Hagberg of the Dole Cardinals, she'll be joining us live in studio, or not in studio, over the phone line tomorrow on FSA, talking about some state championship softball. And we'll go to the consolation bracket on Friday in Class B. It was number 5, Florence Henry. They defeated Avon 6-1. Number 3, Castlewood. They defeated Bonham 12-2. In the winner's bracket, it was a 2-1 close game for Dole. They defeated Alchester Hudson 2-1 in the 1-4 pairing. And in the 7-6 winner's bracket, it was Gabriel Bolin over Mowbridge Pollock 11-4. That's in Class B. In Class A, in the consolation bracket, you had Vermilion. They were the 8th seed. They defeated Sioux Valley 10-0. Madison, they defeated Elk Point Jefferson 7-1 in the 6-7 pairing. The winner's bracket, number 1, West Central. They defeated Del Rapids 6-4. And Tri-Valley, they defeated Dakota Valley 6-5 in the consolation bracket there in Class A. In Class AA state tournament, it was number 8, Sioux Falls Roosevelt. They fell to Brandon Valley 2-0. O'Gorman, they lost to Rapid City Stevens 13-2. These are all finals from Friday, by the way. And there's winners bracket, Sioux Falls Jefferson. They upset Sioux Falls Lincoln 10-6. Sioux Falls Lincoln was the number one seed there, and a big upset for Sioux Falls Jefferson, who ended up winning the whole thing there. Sioux Falls Washington and Harrisburg in the 3-2 pairing there. It was Harrisburg over Washington 8-6. Moving on to Saturday, the 7th and 8th place game, you had Bonham defeat Avon in Class B 12-2. Castlewood and Florence Henry, a 10-3 win for Florence Henry to take the consolation championship. Third place, it was Alchester Hudson and Mobridge Pollock, 4-1. Alchester Hudson won that one. And the state championship game, first state championship in school history for the Dole Cardinals, 3-1 win over Gayville Violin. And I'll tell you what, just a great pitching performance from Katrina Hagberg, Sarah Hagberg's daughter. I mean, she was just unbelievable in these three games. 21 innings pitched. She threw every single inning of every game, 15 strikeouts in the game there against in the state championship game, 3-1. You have a 2-1 game. You have a 3-1 game in this state championship run. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And we talked to coaches around the state, whether it's high school basketball, whether it's high school baseball, whatever it may be, putting together three games in a row is hard to do, especially when you have your best stuff one night. You might not have it the next day. You might have it on Saturday or Friday. You might not have it on Saturday. And in softball, baseball especially, maybe one day you don't have your bats fired up. Maybe your pitching isn't as good as it was the day before. So to do that in three consecutive games is pretty impressive. I mean, to throw 21 innings, 15 strikeouts in the last game, I mean, they did a really nice job. I mean, this is a team in Gayville Violin. They scored 11 unanswered in its semifinal win versus Mobridge Pollock. And you have to face this high-powered offense. They're coming in with a lot of momentum. Baseball, softball, to me, it's a lot of a momentum sport because you can catch a team that maybe, I mean, for example, the Colorado Rockies in Major League Baseball, a team that's it's been terrible throughout the year. They swept the Marlins last week. My Baltimore Orioles, they're a bad team. Okay, they won six in a row before losing two out of three versus the Sacramento A's. Not happy about it from this weekend, but they did go 4-2 on the road trip, so I guess that's good. Anyway, you can run into momentum and hot teams, and to outscore a team only 5-1 in those two games is pretty impressive. The offense didn't do as much, but when you have a pitcher like Hagberg, you're able to kind of weather the storm, and she's able to get big outs in key situations. And that's why Dole is your state champion. This is a team that's been knocking at the door. Just looking at the picture here, you could just see the joy in Coach Hagberg's face and her team. I mean, this is, and I quote here, 3 years in the making for them. I mean, this is something that they've been trying to chase and achieve. They've been right there. And they've had a couple bumps in the road throughout the season. I mean, this is a pretty dominant team throughout the year. They played a couple close games against teams in Class B, Castlewood, for example. But overall, they've had a great season, and they are your state champion. And speaking of Dole, they had three girls place 2025 NEC All-Conference for softball. Katrina Hagberg, Aubrey Lanners, and Ella Holden, all 2025 NEC All-Conference team members there for the Cardinals. Looking at the rest of the team there for the NEC All-Conference, you had Layla Hardy, Michaela Schultz, and J.D. Turner for Redfield, and Clarkville Lake, they had three as well. Zoe Nichols, Macy Ingraham, and Katie Frankfurth, and then Millbank had Allie Meyer. You can check it all out at HubCityRadio.com, but big shout-out to all the 2025 NEC All-Conference team there for softball. Moving on to Class A here, you had the consolation champion was Madison. They beat Vermilion 2-1. Del Rapids, they defeated Dakota Valley 8-0, and in the state championship game, it was all West Central. They defeated Tri-Valley 11-1. This was the only one out of the state tournaments in Class AA, A, and B. This was the only one that had the number one team versus the number two in Class A. It was West Central, and they took care of business 11-1. There was a couple delays in this game as well, and sometimes that could be tough. You're in the state championship game. You know, weather happens, a couple delays. You got to keep poised and even keeled, and West Central was able to do that. They had a great year, only lost three games all season long. Class AA, the 7th and 8th place game, it was Sioux Falls defeating O'Gorman 14-4. Consolation championship was Rapid City Stevens defeating Brandon Valley 7-6. Third place game was Harrisburg and Sioux Falls Lincoln. Harrisburg beat Sioux Falls Lincoln 15-1. State champions in Class AA is Sioux Falls Jefferson. They were the 4th seed. They defeated the 3 seed Sioux Falls Washington. So, really busy day there of state softball. And like I said earlier, there's no guarantees if you're the number one seed, the number two seed, that you're going to be playing in the state championship game. And we've seen it in basketball before. We're seeing it in softball. Maybe going in, you're quote-unquote the favorite, but that's the challenge of the whole thing. You have to win three consecutive games. And as I said earlier, you can have a bad day pitching. You can have a bad day hitting. Maybe a team fields great, and we talk about fielding being a key to all these teams, right? You got to be able to field the softball. And if you do that, you're going to have a chance at the end of the day. And we really did see a lot of competitive games just going through these scores. 2-1 in the consolation championship in Class A, a 7-6 game. You didn't see a lot of blowouts, and we talked about that, whether it was a week or two ago when we looked at the SODAC 16. There were some teams that were high seeds in the SODAC 16 that played lower seeds, and there were some pretty competitive games. And that carried over into this state tournament. Outside of the state championship game and the one consolation game in Class A, a lot of these were close. Harrisburg 15-1, West Central 11-1. Outside of that, there was a lot of competitive softball, and that's really all you can ask for when you get to this situation in the season. You're trying to win it, obviously, and we talk about it a ton, being able to, A, get to a state tournament and be able to play three games. I was out golfing on Saturday, and somebody asked me, hey, are you out covering softball or whatnot? He told him no and whatnot, but he said, hey, is it always three games? And I said, where I'm from, no. I think where Tukes is from, no. I mean, if you lose in the state tournament, you're done. So these teams get an opportunity to not play or to play three games and have that opportunity. And I think that's really cool about, you know, South Dakota high school sports. You can end your season on a good note, and you just got to rub off a loss earlier on in the tournament and play. And consolation championship, 7th and 8th place games, obviously you want to be at the big game at the end of the day, but those are stepping stones and building blocks to a successful program moving forward. And we saw that, for example, with the Dole Cardinals, right? They won a state championship after being so close the last couple of years, and it's not always guaranteed. It's not always guaranteed. Like, you could maybe get to a state championship game a year before. That doesn't mean you're going to get there next year. Tukes talks a lot about that. Like, there's not a guarantee. And we talked to Kim Zimmerman last week with the Aberdeen Central Golf. They were so close last year. Olivia Braun almost won it last year. It's not a guarantee the following year you're going to be there. Now, they put in the work and they were able to get it and do it, but they heard the outside noise. They heard the pressure, and they were still able to put on a great performance. So, shout out to all those teams winning in the state softball, and congratulations to every team that made it. I mean, it's certainly an accomplishment, and softball, it's going to continue to be on the rise as the years move on, I feel like. I think it's becoming more popular. They got to work out the whole pitching situation. I feel like if you can get some teams that can learn how to pitch a little bit more, fast pitch softball, there's a lot of slow pitch, but I think when you start generating more fast pitch softball, you'll be able to see, I think, more competitiveness throughout. And I think softball right now in the state of South Dakota is in a good spot. Anyway, it's 10:28 here on the Sports Hub on FSA. We're going to step aside on the show. When we come back, Eagle Eye Cy, our hockey guy, is going to be joining us talking a little Stanley Cup Final live in studio next on the Sports Hub on FSA. We're back in a moment. Sports Hub continues, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, online, hubcityradio.com. Matt McClure here. Tuesday will be with us back here tomorrow, celebrating a birthday back home. Daughter celebrating a birthday, so happy birthday there. I believe it's Lucy, so celebrating a birthday there. Happy birthday, Lucy. She'll be back with us tomorrow on the Sports Hub on FSA. As you can see on the video stream, Cy Evanunk, our hockey guy, joining us live. How you doing, Cy? Appreciate it.
I'm doing good, Matt. Good morning. God bless you all listening. Hope God blesses your day today on this wonderful Monday. I'm doing good, Matt, and I hope Lord blesses you as well. Let's get this thing rolling.
Yeah, for sure. And before we talk a little Stanley Cup, obviously that's been phenomenal. Obviously the NHL season has been put to bed there. Been a little bit of time, obviously, since the Wings played. Obviously you had the Bobcats win the whole thing. Does that make it sting a little bit more, knowing that, hey, you were so close against the team that ended up winning the whole thing?
Yes, Matt. For me personally, it makes it sting a little bit more. I mean, obviously, I'm just the broadcaster. I'm not the one battling out on the ice as the players were. But, I mean, just being a part of the team for so long, whether as a fan and now stepping into the position that I'm now in broadcasting, it's just – and just how big of a rivalry it is with Bismarck, and like you said, with just how the way it played out, I mean, we were that close, and unfortunately it didn't go our way. We couldn't pull it off, and I mean, they ended up running the table and going the whole way. I mean, you have to give them their props. They won. I even texted Brandon Lewisi, the play-by-play guy for Bismarck. The Lord said I had to message him regardless of how salty I was, and I did. And he was still appreciative of the message nonetheless. And I still am, and you know, happy for him because he's a good dude.
Yep.
You know, regardless of my feelings for Bismarck, but it does make it sting a little bit more. But hey, like you messaged me after Bismarck won, it just adds fuel to the fire for next year. I'm starting to prep for next year. I don't exactly, what the roster is going to look like yet, but I mean, I can still practice my skills and whatnot to be ready. So I'll be ready for fall. I'm ready to go
for sure. And how do the rosters kind of work, Cy? You know, obviously there's a lot of turnover throughout each year. I know they got a draft and things of that nature, right?
Yes, they do. So if I remember the rules correctly, how the draft works anyway is you get a selected total of 30 players, and then you subtract that from how many veterans and tenders you have.
Okay.
And whatever that total number is, that's how many draft picks you have for the draft. Like, I think you can, like, literally select – there's so however many rounds, and you can select basically up until you get to 30 players, and then that's where you hit your cutoff.
On the flip side there, Cy, you look at Bismarck. Isn't it kind of crazy how – you're down in an 0-2 hole in that series, and it kind of leads to a championship for them. I mean, their backs are against the wall, and you see it a lot, and we'll talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup here in a moment, but sometimes those series that you think you got, I mean, I wouldn't say no chance, but your back's against the wall, you're able to win that, it carries over into the next series and the next series, and I just think it's kind of amazing how something like that, and momentum is a real thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I was just about to say momentum is a very important thing, especially in the playoffs. When you can get a hot hand, you know, it's amazing how it doesn't matter if you're in an 0-2 hole. Like, you can catch, you know, a certain spark like Bismarck did in Game 3, and they were able to take it all the way in that series and ended up winning the Central Division against Austin and ended up running the table and winning the Robertson Cup. But when you said that, it made me think of veteran presence and veteran presence in that locker room. They had so many returning veterans from last year's roster, and that really propelled them this year. Like, as much as I hate to say it, Bismarck, top to bottom throughout the entire regular season and playoffs, were probably the best team.
Yeah, I mean, they were championship caliber in the regular season, and that's why it was
100%.
That's why it was very I don't want to say surprising, just because of the rivalry and the intensity of every time the Wings and Bismarck played. But that's why it was a little bit surprising when they were down 0-2, but they were able to get a couple breaks and able to win the whole thing. So
a couple breaks for sure, but I mean, that's also how playoffs go, like, I mean, it's how any sports go, really. Yep. I mean, it is unfortunate, and like you said, I'm still a little salty about it, but we can move on from that. It's unfortunate how it played out, but you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. You got to put your chin up and just use that as fuel to the fire for next season. And I know the returning veterans will definitely use that. One of the departing players who unfortunately won't be returning this coming season, I heard that after the Game 5 loss up in Bismarck, he said that last year after we lost to Bismarck, I was sad. This year I'm mad. And it's a very good way to put it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the mindset that you got to have going into next season. So looking 100%. Forward to that getting underway here this fall. We're joined by Cy Abadunk live on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And Cy, you're a hockey fan, and I'll tell you
absolutely,
what,
yep.
This is about as good as a series that we've had in the Stanley Cup Final that I can remember. Rematch from last year between the Oilers and the Panthers. Both games have gone into overtime, and I got to be honest, I didn't think the Panthers were going to win game two. I just, even in the overtime period, I always felt like the Oilers, they were getting the better scoring chances. For whatever reason to me, I felt that the Oilers were going to win that game, and Florida does what they've done, it seems like, the last couple of years.
Yep.
Marchand with the leak out on the pass, and then you know, I saw a side angle of the guys on the team were jumping, and then he puts it in the net. His parents were at the game.
Oh, gosh.
What an ending to game two.
Yes, what an ending to game two. If you haven't checked out Brad Marchand's quote about his mom after the game during the media presser, that was hysterical. He said that you would have to put a muzzle on her just because she gets so excited. Again, his words, not mine, but still very funny nonetheless. But a special moment for Marchand. And that's looking like one of the best trades of the decade right now, isn't it? I mean, Marchand, 3 goals in the first 2 games.
Wow.
He had a shorthanded goal in game 2, and then the game winner in double overtime in game 2. I mean, that trade is absolutely working out beautifully for the Panthers. And to be honest, I was a little weary of that trade when it first happened. Like, how is Marchand going to fit in that locker room after the Bruins and Panthers battled each other for 2 straight years?
Yeah, I was going to say,
in the
big
playoffs.
Rivalry.
And yeah, huge rivalry that just developed, sparked out of nowhere in those 2 years, especially with the Panthers knocking off the Bruins when the Bruins ended up winning the President's Trophy a few years back.
Yeah.
So I was a little weary of how that would work out, but I mean, those are grown up men. They know how to work together regardless of their past feelings. And I mean, it's worked. I mean, his former rivalry. So Marchand on the Bruins, he had a big battle with Sam Bennett, who's still on the Panthers, and his counterpart there has also had 3 goals in the first 2 games. So that combination has just worked beautifully for the Panthers, and I honestly didn't expect that.
Yeah, and they needed that game. It seemed like the Oilers had some momentum. They came back from, 3-1 there on Wednesday in Game 1, and it looked like, I don't know, to me, I felt like the Oilers were going to win that game, and they didn't, and now series shifts back to Florida in Fort Lauderdale. And Cy, what's kind of the outlook for you as we move forward in this series? Do you think a must-win game for Edmonton, game 3 tonight? Florida, do you think they can maybe steal, but get up 3-1 in this series? I personally think now they can, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2-2 after 4.
I wouldn't be surprised with either way this series goes. Personally, in my book, I think Florida thinks they should be up 2-0 right now, just with the fact that they were up 3-1 going into the third period in game 1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a 2-goal lead, yes, it is the most dangerous lead in hockey, but I mean, that's one that, I mean, in my personal record book, you gotta want to close down, especially on the road
period.
In a huge game 1. Like, I mean, you got to solidify your stamp on the series right then and there. But I mean, absolutely huge for the Panthers to come back and win in double overtime, especially after Corey Perry, or as people are saying, Scorey Perry, tying the game up with 17.8 seconds left in regulation in game 2. I mean, like you were saying, it looked like the Oilers had the momentum in that overtime, and it looked like they were going to steal game 2 and go up 2-0 in that series. So absolutely huge on Florida to tie it up at 1-1. And now they're looking to home serve on home ice, right? Down in Florida, you know, they're going to feed off their home crowd, their home energy going back down to Florida. They're looking to hold serve 3-1. And like you said, I think they absolutely can now with stealing game two on the road, because it wasn't looking good for them. But now I feel like they kind of have the momentum. Stealing that game, it's like, all right, boys, we were able to get the split. We probably should be up 2-0, but we came here what we came to do. We got the job done. Now let's go home and hold serve and take these two games on home ice.
I'm interested. Do you think that obviously Florida's got the advantage in net there with Bob and net, but to me, I feel like Stu Skinner hasn't played all that bad.
No,
what do you think?
No, he hasn't. It's been an incredible ride in these playoffs for the Oilers. So it seems like decades ago now, but they started off these playoffs on the road against the Kings, and they were down 2-0.
Wow, yeah.
They were down 2-0, and Skinner was not playing well at all. At all. So they pulled him. They put Calvin Pickard in net. Mm-hmm. He won that series for them. They won 4 straight and won that series. Well, then they started on the road in Vegas in round 2.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Pickard gets hit in the back of the head with an elbow like early on in game 1.
Yeah.
I think the Oilers end up losing game 1, but they win the series in 5. So they have to put Stuart Skinner back in net, mm-hmm, because of Pickard's injury. I mean, it's just been a complete flip-flop, and ever since, Skinner's held serve in net, and I believe he's had 3 shutouts in these playoffs, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So he's just been on fire.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because we saw it in Dallas with Ottinger and things of that, and how these teams in the playoffs, you could be having a hot goalie all throughout the year, a guy that maybe wins what's the award for the goalie award?
Vezina.
Yeah, the Vezina trophy. They could win the Vezina throughout the year. And they get to the playoffs, they have 2 bad games, and they are quick to pull them. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? You see it a lot more at the pro level than maybe you see at the NAHL level and things of that. But to me, it's just surprising. You go the whole season with your main guy, and then he has a bad game or two, and they're quick to pull him. What's your thoughts on that as a fan?
Well, it just cost Peter DeBoer his job in Dallas.
Yep.
It's kind of like you said, it's crazy how things can just turn in an instant. Like, put the Jake Ottinger situation aside for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
That dude in his 3 seasons in Dallas, every single time made the Western Conference Final.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, he didn't win a single series in the Western Conference Final, but he at least got his team deep into the playoffs, and he's now currently out of a job. Granted, he did not handle that situation correctly. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
And his comments in the postgame pressers and in his media availability and the exit conferences after their postseason ended,
mm-hmm,
pretty much threw his team under the bus, didn't really take accountability for his actions, his decision, and I mean, the players went straight to upper management, were like, yeah, we don't agree with anything that he said, and we definitely don't agree with his decision in pulling our star goaltender, who was one of the big reasons why we got to the playoffs, aside from the Mikko Rantanen trade. I mean, it was a flabbergasting decision. I forgot the backup goaltender's name for Dallas.
Yeah,
so I think that says a lot.
That's all you need to know right there.
Yeah. It's, I mean, for him to say that it could potentially spark his team, like, I sort of get it, but that's still your star goaltender.
They went to three conference finals.
In the Western Conference Final. The talent discrepancy between Jake Ottinger and the backup,
it's not close.
It's not close at all.
Yeah.
It was a dumb decision, and now he's out of a job. But he'll find another job. Like,
no,
his
doubt.
Resume, he'll get hired somewhere. Probably do great, lead his team to the playoffs. It's kind of what he does.
That's what he does.
He's made the postseason everywhere he goes, with San Jose, Vegas, Dallas. Guy's a winner. So with his pedigree, he'll find a job in the NHL somewhere.
10:46 here on the Sports Hub. We're talking more with Cy up next. We'll give our prediction for tonight's game between the Oilers and Panthers. Keep it tuned here, Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. And our final segment here, the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM, online, HubCityRadio.com. Segment number two here as we wrap up the show, talking some Stanley Cup playoffs, that's for sure. And Cy, I mentioned it on the jump here this morning. I'm glad that the hockey arena, or like the ice, it has something that says Stanley Cup on it.
Oh, 100%. I've been looking on Twitter about the NBA and their lack of a finals presentation, whether on their broadcast or even on the court itself. Yeah, the digital logos on the court. Yeah, that's BS. I'm sorry. That's...
Yeah, they got the Larry O'Brien trophies on the digital plus the finals logo. At least hockey, they give you the Stanley Cup Final 2025 on the ice, so I'm happy about that.
I think that is actually digitalized. They stopped doing that for digital ads.
Oh, so is it digital in hockey?
It
too?
Is too, but at least we have a patch on the front of the jerseys.
Yeah, you can't tell in the NBA if it's a Wednesday game in January.
No, it isn't. I remember like way back when where they had special finals music and a finals presentation.
Yeah, remember the old logos?
Yes.
The old Larry O'Brien logo and Sarah.
Yes, that nostalgia needs to be back, and the finals logo needs to be back on the Stanley Cup ice too. I'm about 99% that's digitalized now.
Okay.
Digitalized now too, but
yeah. Anyway,
either way, yeah, that stuff needs to be upgraded fast. That's an outrage that it's not.
Game three here tonight, Cy. In your opinion, who needs to win and why?
It's a really good question. Edmonton's a really good road team. I feel like Florida really needs to capitalize on their momentum. I was telling my best buddy from high school before the finals, and I was also telling his wife, too. Both great, great friends of mine. We'll love them till the day I die.
Mm-hmm.
It's my heart wants Florida to win just because I don't want Canada to get the cup back.
I'm with you on that.
But in my head, I feel like I'm in my head, it's going to be Oilers in seven.
Okay.
So I really feel like Florida needs to capitalize on their momentum that they had from game two, because they absolutely stole that game. Like, Edmonton really should be up 2-0 right now. Florida, Marchand completely stole that game for Florida. So them being back home in Sunrise tonight, and I believe on Wednesday for games 3 and 4, they need to hold serve on home ice. They need to home serve on home ice, and I mean, ideally going back to Edmonton up 3-1, that's what you want. And that hockey crazed environment up there, you want to have a lead in the series. I feel like if you go back to Edmonton, back 2-2,
yep.
I feel like the Oilers are going to have the momentum then, because then it's back to a best of three series. Edmonton has home ice again, and I feel, well, after splitting in Sunrise, they're going to come back home and feel like, all right, boys, we got our job done down there.
Yeah,
you know, we weren't able to go up 2-0 on home ice like we thought we should have, but we were able to go on the road and get a split just like they did in our place. Now the ball's back in our court again. Let's go ahead and finish it.
Well, I think personally, I think Florida, I think they could possibly get up 3-1 in this thing.
I think they can. It's, I mean, with the way Marchand and Bennett are playing, and Bobrovsky and Net with the crazy
saves. How
about
the save he had? Was it before they gave up the tie? It was like that cross ice pass,
yeah,
and he got his
yep.
pad on it. I mean, that's just an
unreal.
Yeah,
unreal. If I tried that, I wouldn't be able to. I can't do the splits, Matt. So that would have either been a goal, or I would have hurt myself very, very badly.
Nice.
I mean, unreal. Bobrovsky. I mean, both goaltenders really have been unstoppable. I mean, with some of the saves that they've been making, like really, the score should be higher than what they have been.
Yeah.
But no, you're absolutely right. With Bobrovsky and then the combination of Bennett and Marchand and just their depth pieces as well, and the way that their defensemen get involved in plays and the way that they can just wear and grind you down, that's a championship-level roster. I want to say one quick thing before we end the program here.
Sure,
I was listening to Game 2 on the Edmonton's radio network on Sirius XM Friday,
mm-hmm.
and the Edmonton guys were saying just the sheer – level of competition, like the upgrade in competition and the level of skill that these teams have showed from the conference final to the Stanley Cup final is just absolutely unreal. And they got a point, because when you think about it, Edmonton and Florida, they blew the doors off of Dallas and in Carolina.
Yeah, those games
close. Most of those games were not close at all.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge hockey fan. Honestly, by the end of those, I was like, can we just move on to the cup final already? Like, I think we know the two teams that should be playing for Lord Stanley right now.
The funny thing is you probably had that conclusion after, like, game two.
Yeah, like, it wasn't even close, especially in the Carolina-Florida series. Like, I was appalled with what I was seeing.
You know, my pick was Carolina.
You were going with Carolina all the way, and I kept messaging you, like, what's going on right now? Like, this is absolute sheer domination from the Panthers.
Yeah.
I was surprised Carolina even got a game.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that. I think we could see an instant classic. I'm hoping for seven.
Me too. Game seven of a Stanley Cup final doesn't get any better than that.
I'm hoping for seven, Cy, but I think we're going to get six either one way. I think the Panthers are going to win in six.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Oilers win. I think it'll go seven. So that's my final prediction. How about you before we wrap up the show?
I think I'm going Oilers in seven still. I'm going to stay with my Oilers in seven pick. My heart wants the Panthers to win. Don't want the cup going back to Canada, but my head's saying Oilers in seven, Matt.
So I appreciate you joining me here today.
Absolutely, Matt. Happy to be here. God bless you all. Have a fantastic rest of your Monday.
Minnesota Twins are off today. They are back in action tomorrow. They open up a series against the Texas Rangers. They avoided the sweep on Sunday. Nice win there yesterday. Plus, we're going to be joined by Sarah Hagberg tomorrow on the show on the Sports Hub on FSA. That about does it here for us. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Colin Cowherd coming up at the top of the hour.